Blog Talk Radio.
Lift those hands all over the building. I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I am. Whew, that song is just so powerful. It took me right into worship, amen. And I was sitting there, I had to remind myself that I'm on the show, amen. I'm messing around and miss my cue, amen. But this is a blessed day, amen. Happy Father's Day, amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, June 21st. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair and the Fuse Memorial Worship Service. Amen. Fuse is in the house just one more time. Amen. The Jubilee Affair is in the house just one more time. God is blessing us. Amen. Just one more time. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold it up. Amen. We're going to get started with our worship experience. Brother Tony, you have the floor, sir.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost,
Brother Tony, for that rendition of Amazing Grace. Amen. Amazing Grace. Amen. 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 We should not have our affirmation of faith. Keep it going, Doc. Yes.
I'm not
You got to let it go, doctor. I'm with you. Amen. Amen. All right. We shall continue on with our affirmation of faith. Amen. Brother Lisa.
Let us unite in the historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. We shall now have our invocation by Exotic Garrett, followed by a scripture from Reverend Patricia Johnson.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, come down, visit us right now. We thank you for blessing us and sustaining us through another month and for another time such as this to worship you. We thank you, dear God, most especially on today because it is Father's Day and you are the most supreme Father of all. That's who we know you as. We know your Son as our Savior. And we know your Holy Spirit as our comforter. And we thank you for all three, dear Lord. We thank you for your wisdom, dear Father. We thank you for your mercy and your discipline that you give us, dear Father. We thank you for all of the favor that you bestow upon us, even though that we don't deserve it, dear God. Dear God, we just ask in this service that your name be glorified for all the many things that you have done. Dear God, that the message that is going to be spoken, dear God, that it touches a soul to lead to the ultimate gift that your Son has given us, and that is the gift, dear God, of salvation. None of this could be possible without you. We thank you We honor you. We love you. Happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We should now have our scripture. Reverend Patricia Johnson.
I am reading Acts chapter 2, 1 to 6. When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend. Amen. As we continue on with our announcements, amen. Again, happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. Amen. It is a true blessing. Amen. I'm so grateful, amen, to see another Father's Day. Amen. Last year, I prayed to the Lord to let me see another year, and he did. Amen. And so I can say happy Father's Day to every single one of you. Amen. If you've had a father, a father figure, if you are a father, if you've been a father figure to somebody, happy Father's Day. Amen. With that being said, let us continue to stay safe. Amen. Let us continue to make sure that we are washing our hands, make sure that we are staying our social distancing. Amen. It may seem like it's a lot, but amen, it's keeping us safe and healthy. Amen. So it's important that we follow the guidelines. I am looking forward to getting back into our building, amen. I'm not going to say back into the church because the church is always open, amen. But I am looking forward to getting back in our building come July, amen. And we all know that it's going to be a Holy Ghost-filled time, amen. But until then, we're going to still let the Holy Ghost have his way on this radio show, amen. And right now, I'm just so happy, amen, because, amen, I know that I am being blessed by the Lord. Amen. And I know that you are too. Amen. So those are my announcements for today. Let us govern ourselves according to that. Amen. Amen and amen. As we move along into our service, amen, it is now prayer time. It is now time for us to make our petitions known unto the Lord. This is the time where we need to come before the altar and lay it all out before the Lord. But I urge you, as you come to this altar and as you put your baggage out so that the Lord can deal with it, don't pick it back up. Let the Lord handle everything. And I promise you, you will come out with a blessing. Let us bow our heads. Eternal Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, because you have been so good unto us. In fact, you have been better to us than we've been to ourselves. You have opened up doors, Father God, for those who are sick, Father. You have blessed them. You have kept them, Father. Some went on to glory, Father, but we thank you for the ones that are still here. And Father God, we praise your name because we know that some of us are still alive and healthy, Father, so we know that you are still in the blessing business. We ask right now, Father God, that you will stop by the nursing homes, that you will stop by the hospitals, Father, that you will stop by the jail cells, Father, that you will stop by each church, Father God, each person that call upon you, Father, and that needs a blessing on this morning, Father, that you will pour out blessings, Father, to each and every person that calls on you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father God. I ask that you would bless, Father God, our city officials, Father, our state officials, Father God, even bless our president, Father, for as long as the blood runs warm in his veins, Father, he has an opportunity to change, Father. He has an opportunity to get things right and in order, Father God. So we know that it starts at the top, Father God. So I have to pray for him, Father, and I just ask that you would make all things right. Touch now, Father God, your church. Father God, the leaders, Father. Father God, we have been glorified and we have been pretty much crucified during this time, Father, because none of us have pastored during a pandemic. None of us knew what to do, Father, but we all trusted and believed in you. We thank you. We ask, Father God, that you would bless all those within the sound of my voice. Somebody needs a blessing on this morning. I touch and agree right now, Father, that your blessing should go forth. And, Father God, we are forever grateful for the things that you do. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I am delighted to introduce to you a man that I have grown to know and love. This man is my father in the ministry. A chance on this young boy. And he told me, he always gives me the great advice. He says, you can do anything that you put your mind to. This man is our presiding elder of the Detroit and the Mid-Michigan District. He is a preacher. He is a teacher. And he is one of the best pastors that I have ever had the joy of working with. He is a husband of one wife, amen, Dr. Alondra Washington. I am just so overjoyed to present to you my father in the ministry, Reverend Dr. Philip D. Washington. And after the song by Exhorter McKinney, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Reverend Dr. Philip D. Washington. Amen. Exhorter McKinney, the floor is yours.
Praise God. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all fathers, father figures, anyone that raised and has been essential to a child. Happy Father's Day and God bless you. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. Who I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. I really love Lord. Ooh. I really love the Lord. Mm. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me that old victory. Oh, I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Is there anybody here? Anybody here who loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Love, love, love. Is there anybody here? Anybody here who loves my Jesus? I want to know if you love the Lord. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Lord has made a way for us. And when your skies were gray, didn't he brighten up your day? You ought to wave your hands. You ought to say amen. If you love him, if you love him, if you love the Lord, I want to know if you love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Oh, I really love the Lord. Ooh, you don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Ooh, you don't know what he's done for me. He gave me three. Oh, I love him. I love him. Do you love him? I love him. I really love the Lord. Ooh, you don't know what's done for me. You don't know my story. He gave me all kinds of victory. Oh,
yeah.
I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. Do you love him? Love him. I really love the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 That is one of my favorite songs. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I love him. First, let me thank God for this outstanding pastor, Pastor Dante Townsend of the True Memorial Church family, who have done a tremendous job. I thank God for his leadership and for his love for the church, for his love for his family. We just thank God for his leadership. He has been a blessing to us on many levels of the church as he will continue to work in the community to build up the body of Christ. We thank God for his wife, Sister Tremaine, who does a tremendous job, and his mother as well, who's also a faithful servant. We just lift up to him and the family, Ethan, every day, and pray God's strength upon them as they continue to do the work of the Father in heaven. He is one who loves God. I just like his zeal for the church. He's made sacrifice in order to encourage God's people and provide leadership when it was very much needed. So again, we thank God for your pastor. Continue to keep up the good work. And thank you for this opportunity to be with you all this morning. I am glad to be here at the Pew Memorial Church today on this Father's Day. It's a blessing to be here and to be a part of this morning's worship experience. I know we have a certain time limit and I'm not going to be long, but there is a word from God during this pandemic season that we're in. Let me first of all say happy Father's Day to all fathers around the world, biological and non-biological fathers. Fathers are an important part of the body of Christ. And so let us just take a moment as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, our God, first of all, we praise and we thank you for your goodness and your amazing grace. We ask, Father, that you would continue to strengthen us during this time, to give us wisdom and understanding, Father, that we might be the will of God, that we might be doers and not just hearers of the word. For we know that you are an outstanding and loving God. Now, Father, bless us. Keep us in your care. Anoint us each and every day for others to see God in us and give you the glory. Open up our ears and our mouths Father, we might receive a word from heaven and be doers and not just hearers of the word. And we'll always give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me invite you to Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. And there we find these words. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Let me stop right there. We want to use for a subject that God is pouring out his spirit. If you would just tell somebody, God is pouring out his spirit. And share with somebody, God is pouring out his spirit. I may be having a little technical difficulty here. Let me make sure I got everything working right. God is pouring out his spirit.
Amen.
Do I have any feedback, Pastor Townsend? All right.
No, sir. You're all set.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Tell somebody, God is pouring out his spirit. It is the season of Pentecost, a season of unity, recognition, and empowerment. It's Father's Day, a day in which we lift up fathers, persons who provided guidance, strength, and wisdom, a time in which we emphasize the importance of fathers in a child's life. For the enemy would have one to believe that a father is not important, but fathers are an essential part of the family and a child's life. We're not saying that a child cannot have a healthy upbringing without a father, but fathers are an important part of the family unit and can provide important elements in the life of a child. This morning, during this season of Pentecost, on this Father's Day, we want to emphasize the importance of unity, recognition, and empowerment. So for a few moments, come with me as we go back in time before the time of Pentecost, see what the Word of God has for us that will help us as we live during these days and times. A time when a father gave his son, and a son gave his life, that we might have a right relationship with them. God demonstrates that fatherhood is important and is filled with responsibility. For God looked after his son, cared for his son, provided for his son, watched over with his son, covered and kept his son, all while Christ walked this earth. And even after he crucified him, God was there to raise him from the dead and then called him to his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. So right off, I want to say happy Father's Day to all fathers all around the world. There's a responsibility and a love that goes along with being a father. So happy Father's Day to you. And I encourage you to continue to hold on and not let the world determine what a father is, but demonstrate the love of a father each and every day. Now we are living in a crucial time, a time when we must recognize that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, a time we must understand that we've been called for such a time as this. Jesus, the Son of God, who had healed the sick, enabled the lame to walk, gave sight to the blind. Jesus, who was brought up on trumped up charges, and the crowd cried out, crucify him, had been crucified. He died on the cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And for fear that Jesus would rise from the dead as he said he would, they placed guards outside the tomb, a seal, and rolled a stone in front of the tomb to try to stop God from fulfilling his salvation plan. Human power, political power, a stone were used to try to defeat God, to try to stop God from doing what God said he would do, to try to stop God's salvation plan that we might have a right relationship with him, to keep God from doing what he had in mind. And despite all of the forces, despite all that they tried to do, they could not stop God from doing what God said he would. God sent an angel to roll stone away from the tomb and raise Jesus from the dead. We can rejoice right now just knowing that human power, political power, and stone can't stop God from doing what God says he will do. Yes, people are worrying about how we're going to overcome this systemic racism in society, how we're going to stop police brutality, how we're going to make it through these injustices that are happening in our society today. Well, I can't tell you exactly how, but as God's word says, evil will soon be cut down like grass, revealing that God has a plan. And just like they could not stop him back then, you can't stop God now. When God says he will do something, we'll do it. All you got to do is just believe. He says, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse. I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. I will in no wise cast you out. I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against me. Father, my soul rejoices in just knowing that if God said he will, I know he will. He has the power and the authority to make it happen. We can rejoice in knowing that the promises of God are true and undeniable. Human power, political power, and not even stones can destroy what God says he will do. And it is God's will that we be more than conquerors. It's God's will that we overcome and not be oppressed. It's God's will that we prosper. It's God's will that we overcome, that we walk in his power and his might. It's God's will. Therefore, no matter what the day brings, we can say, I will rejoice and be glad in. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he instructed the disciples to stay in Jerusalem. Even though they were being sought after, even though their lives were in danger, Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem, to wait on the promise of the Father, which would give them power to be his witnesses. Because what they had been called to do was not an ordinary task. What they had been called to do was not going to be done by human power. What they had been called to do would change the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. What they had been called to do would change all of the world. And it could not be done. Calling on our lives is not simply to say that we are children of the Most High God. But God has called us to change the world. We've been called to live a Christ-like life in a sinful society, that others might be able to see that the power of God is able to defeat evil. Contrary to the prosperity preaching and theology, you were not called by God just to drive a fancy car. You were not called by God just to live in a fancy house, but to eat a food that you can't even pronounce. But we've been called to win souls to Christ, not simply say that we did it, but that the quality of life might be changed for millions all around the world, that the world might experience the peace of God, that the world might know the love of Jesus and the joy of Jesus. God has called us for such a time as this. You've been called. Fathers, you've been called to live a life before our children, that they might glorify God, not just to make babies, but to produce healthy, God-fearing, empowered individuals, families, and communities, and even nations. We've been called not just for persons in our families, in our neighborhoods, but we've been called for all the ghettos all around America, all the rural areas all around America, all the villages and hamlets in Africa and shanties in Europe and Asia and the uttermost parts of the world. We've been called to make a difference. And we've been called with a promise, and that promise is that we shall receive power. This is important because we live in a society that seeks to oppress and even kill certain people. A society that makes us try to feel like we are powerless. A society that has proven that it's more concerned about profit rather than people, about status quo rather than souls. We are living during a time when in high places there's wickedness, when children are being caged and abused, while policies and procedures are being put in place to justify it, when nations' armed forces are turning against their own citizens. Every time we see law officials or law enforcement do unjustly harm somebody who is unarmed, we're being made to feel powerless. We must remember, we've been called. When those who we empower to serve and protect commit acts against us, we must remember we've been called. When we see persons who are in need, we must remember we have been called. When politicians misuse their power and authority, we must remember we have been called and anointed to preach the good news of the gospel to the oppressed, to set the captives free, to care for the widows, to lead others to Christ, not only to be a part of the body of Christ, but to be one with Christ. We have been called, and whom God calls, he justifies, and he fortifies. Our calling is not based upon how much money we make, where you live, your education, nor the color of your skin. But God can call anyone, anywhere, at any time. Paul was on the road to Damascus, on his way to do wrong when God called him. I want you to know right now, right where you are, if you listen, you'll hear the call of God on your life. You hear God speaking to you. You hear God say that I need you. You hear God empowering you. You hear God speaking with a small, still voice saying that I am here for you. And it's in God's call that we find our unity. Unity is not when everyone is in the same room. Unity is not when everyone agrees. Unity is not when everyone wears the same color. Neither is unity when we're all in the same place or all of the same race. But unity is when we're all of the same spirit. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. When we're all of the same mind, when we're all of the same spirit, we become justified. We are the same spirit, we have a spirit-filled vision. When we are the same spirit, we have a spirit-filled mission. When we are the same spirit, we have a spirit-filled purpose. And we become empowered by the spirit. The enemy has made a mistake. He thought by us not gathering together in our building, we would become divided. We would fall apart. But our unity is not based upon the uniforms we wear. Our unity is not based upon the choir robes or the cars that we wear. We are not divided just because we're not in the same building. But when we are the same spirit, when God pours out his spirit upon us, it doesn't matter what part of the town you're in, what part of the country you're in. It doesn't even matter where you're from or what the color of your skin is. But unity is not determined by time or space, but it's determined by our spirit. We are one in the spirit. We are one in the Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is above all, through all, and in all. We see persons from all different nationalities, educational backgrounds, persons of so many differences who are marching together, those who are marching for justice, and are marching of the same spirit. It warms my heart because it reveals to us that God is pouring out his spirit upon all of humanity. Well, as the Baptists were together all on one accord, they were unified, the scriptures say. And when the day of Pentecost would fully come, some of it came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were praising God with and speaking about the wonderful works of God in different languages. Now, I'm not sure what specific wonderful works they were speaking of, but I'm sure somebody said, he forgives sin. I'm sure somebody said, he's a doctor that's never lost a patient. I'm sure somebody said that he's a healer, that he's a counselor, that he's a wonderful God. I can hear somebody say that he heals the wounded heart, that he's joy in time of sorrow and hope for tomorrow. I can hear somebody saying he gives strength to the weak, power to those who have no might. I don't know specifically what wonderful works they were saying, but I'm sure somebody said there's so many wonderful things about Jesus. There's so many wonderful things about him. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's a Prince of Peace. There are so many wonderful things about Jesus. There's just so many wonderful things about him. Even right now, you can think about the wonderful things that God has done in your life, and you can tell somebody the wonderful things that God has done for you. Well, they were filled, and they were moved to share the word of God and the goodness of God with all that could hear them. So they came out of the upper room. They came out of hiding. And they did what others thought was impossible. The scriptures say that they tried to mock them by saying that the disciples and others were weak, were drunk. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God will bestow blessings upon you, things that others don't understand. He'll make it so that you are able to go high when others go low. He'll give you the ability to see blessings even before they manifest themselves. He'll give you power to speak things not they will be. He'll give you peace in time of storm. He'll give you the power and authority to speak to your situation so that you know that you're the head and not the tail. That the situation doesn't have you, but you've got the situation. And when you don't act defeated, talk to the authority. Instead of complaining and talking about how bad things are, you concentrate and talk about the goodness of Jesus. The enemy and others will try to define you. They'll call you crazy, holy roller, loco, out of your mind, because you don't act or respond the way they think you should. So they try to diminish what God is doing in you. They said these men are drunk, so that others would not recognize the Spirit of God in them. It was not that they were acting drunk or irrational, but it was that they possessed abilities that they normally didn't have. The disciples were no longer comfortable with the status quo of things. They could no longer stay in the upper room. They had to get out and share about the goodness of Jesus. God has poured out his spirit today, and we can no longer stay hidden, no longer stay in the upper room.
God has poured out his spirit and it has caused us to leave our sanctuaries and leave out of our church buildings and to go into all the world to share the goodness of Jesus. He's empowered us to do what we normally wouldn't do. God has poured out his spirit upon the African-American father. And we are no longer allowing society to define who we are. In spite of what they would have you to believe, we must understand that the African-American fathers are statistically more involved in their children's lives than their counterparts. If they would have you believe that the African-American father is African and revealing his power each and every day. Listen, listen, listen. It could have been easy for a person to say, well, since we are no longer in our building, let's stop worshiping. But because it was never about being in the building, those that are called by God understand that it was not about being in one location. It had nothing to do with the building. So we were able to worship God even though we are not in the building. We may not be worshiping in our sanctuary, but we're still worshiping God. Our home now has become a place of worship. For the Bible says that where one or two are gathered together in his name, God will be in the midst. The scripture never said where one or two are gathered together in the chapel, in the sanctuary, but it says where one or two are gathered together. So no matter where you are, gathered together on the same mind. So persons who've never been on the internet, persons who've never been on conference calls or Zoom sessions, or even listen to the radio or the internet, are now using this to worship God, together on one accord. And you know what? God is in the midst. What others said, could not do, we would not do, God has given us the ability to do. The disciples were no longer acting as if they were weak or afraid, as the Romans wanted them to. So instead of acknowledging their gifts, they tried to diminish what God was doing in them. They said they're drunk. After being filled with the Spirit, the disciples could no longer be comfortable with being in the upper room, getting some society. They were no longer comfortable with their voices being silent. They couldn't take the word of God being oppressed any longer. They could not and would not allow the enemy to define them, what God had done in their lives. Enough was enough. There comes a time when God pours out his spirit upon us when we say enough. As I look across the nation and all across the world, I see how persons are rising up against injustice and evil, speaking against those who are supposed to be in power, but yet are doing evil deeds. And people of all races and nationalities are standing up proclaiming enough is enough. Well, God is pouring out his spirit on the young and the old, on the men and the women, on the boys and the girls. God is pouring out his spirit. Those who would normally turn their heads and look the other way, but now are standing up and speaking out because God is pouring out his spirit. God is pouring out his spirit on fathers and mothers who are taking time to talk with their children like never before and sharing with them the dangers of society and letting them know that there is a God that sits high and looks low. God is pouring out his spirit. People are becoming more aware of their surroundings, checking on one another, on loved ones and friends and neighbors, calling each other, encouraging one another. God is pouring out his spirit. Each and every day, God is revealing to us that he is Lord of all. He's given us power that binds us close together. As he pours out his spirit, he's breaking chains that have held us down. As he pours out his spirit, he's given us the power of love, and a sound mind, because God does not give us a spirit of fear. God is pouring out his spirit. On this Father's Day, we must understand during this pandemic crisis, during this pouring out spirit. And we can no longer stay within the confines of the sanctuary. We can no longer stay within the confines of our homes, but we must call somebody, share with somebody the goodness of Jesus and encourage them that they might know that we have been called for such a time as this. My brothers and sisters, we've been called. And as God calls us, he pours out his spirit upon us to give us peace, love, and joy, and gives us power to speak up, to stand up, and to share with others that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I encourage you, take time to read and study the word of God, and you will find that he will give you all that you need to overcome every circumstance or situation, to empower you to be more than a conqueror as he pours out his spirit. I want to thank you for this time of being here and sharing with you. Let us continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand, trusting and believing and knowing that if God be for us, he's more than the world against us. You are more than conqueror as God pours out his spirit. God bless you and God keep you.
Amen, 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 and amen. Elder, you had me going here. I knew it. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that wonderful spiritual message. Amen. I I know I wasn't the only one jumping up and down, amen. If I had my mute button unmuted, boy. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But as we open up the door of the church, that door being Jesus, is there someone here today that you have been wrestling with your spirituality? You have been fighting against God instead of walking with God, and you find yourself at the brink of death, and you're ready to give your life over. If that's you, I offer you Jesus right now. I offer you opportunity at getting your life in order. And if that's you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you would come into my heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you live, that you died, and that you rose again. Now be the Lord of my life. Help me to see the error of my ways, and help me to walk richly in your will. Use me, Father. Show me, teach me, lead me and guide me to be more like you. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you sincerely pray that prayer and you meant it within your heart sincerely, then salvation now belongs to you. Happy birthday. It is the first day of the rest of your life. I urge you to get into a Bible-based church, to learn of the Lord, to be an asset to the church, to help physically, financially, and spiritually, and watch what God will do in your life. God bless you, and may God keep you. Again, I would like to thank our presiding elder, amen, for that wonderful spirit-filled message, amen. And give special shout out to Dozier, amen, in Flint, Michigan. I love you all. Dozier is in the house. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And amen. Minister Tremaine, will you please bless us with our doxology?
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the
Elder, will you please close us with the benediction?
Thank you, sir. Again, thank everyone for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor. And as we bow our heads, and now to all wise God who lives and visit you, follows before his throne, may grace, peace, and the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with you now and evermore. Let everyone say together, amen. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
God bless
amen.
You.
God bless
you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. God
amen.
Bless you too, Pastor.
Amen. And on behalf of the good brother Hakim, let me back up on brother Hakim again. On behalf of Fuse Memorial, I would like to again say thank you, sir, for your hard work, for your due diligence, and for always making sure that everything sounds good, sir. We thank you, and we continue to lift you up in prayer.
Thank you so much, sir. My pleasure.
Amen, amen. And on behalf of the good brother Hakim Nuba, amen. On behalf of Exhorter Kyle Garrett, Exhorter Lisa Green, brother Tony Spencer, Exhorter McKinney, Minister Tremaine Townsend, Minister Patricia Johnson, our presiding elder, Dr. Philip D. Washington, amen. I am Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair and a Fuse Memorial Worship Service. Good day to you. May God bless you, and may God keep you. We are signing off.
Amen.
Amen.
Lift those hands all over the building. I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. I am everything that God says I am.